Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 this morning, and we're actually starting a new series today. How many of you like, those that you here last Sunday, how many of you like Robert Morris, Pastor Robert Morris by video? Good. Amen. We had lots of good feedback about that. From time to time, we're going to be doing more of that here in the future, of showing videos of different speakers and ministers and pastors that are in the body of Christ that I know of. And I promise you, I'm never going to put somebody up there that I don't trust and know that's teaching the Word of God. Pastor Robert's awesome. You're going to hear from Pastor Jimmy Evans, who he's a pastor of Trinity Fellowship Church in Amarillo, Texas, but he's also the leader of Marriage Today. Some of you know marriagetoday.com, and so he does lots of teachings on marriage, and we're going to have him in the future, plus some others, you know, that I listen to, trusted pastors and leaders in the body of Christ. And so we're going to do more of that in the future. But we're going to talk today about, I felt led by the Holy Spirit, hence the title, Led by the Spirit, to do this series to start teaching us how to hear God, how to know when God is speaking to you. And so that's one of the questions I get asked a lot as a pastor, is, Pastor Mark, how do I know that it's God is speaking to me? How can I be led by His Spirit? So we're gonna look into this. It's probably gonna take, you know, definitely 3 Sundays, if not 4 to 5. I don't know yet, but I know for sure 3. But today we're gonna start off by the number one way. And so if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Of course, it's also the title of the message. The number one way that God speaks to us and how God leads us is by the inward witness. And I'm going to explain that here in just a little bit. Yes, it's through His Word, but that's part of it, but it's the inward witness that you have from the Holy Spirit. And it's crucial that we know how to be led by God, because God don't speak, He doesn't speak to our body, He doesn't speak to our mind. He speaks to our spirit. And according to the Word of God, our spirit is somewhere down in here. Your spirit man is in this, and that's who you are. You are a spirit, you have a soul, which is your mind, will, and your emotions, and you live in a body. That's what we've been looking at that here lately when we talked about how to flourish spirit, soul, and body. So we have to realize also, the Bible tells us some things about God. First of all, God is a spirit. Look at somebody and say, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And so, and He even tells us in John chapter 4, verse 24, that we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that's how we worship God. And He speaks to our spirit. God speaks to our spirit. And I want to tell you what I'm going to teach us today, and we're going to look into the Word of God about this. I want to take this very seriously, because this is the difference between success and failure in your life. This is the difference between even life and death in your life. And it's also the difference between you being in God's will for your life or wandering around in the desert the rest of your life. That's how important it is for us to hear God. Look at somebody and say, it's very important for us to hear God. It's very important. So I've got us a PowerPoint slide. I always like doing this, so it kind of helps you to take notes and you can follow along. But this is what we're going to look at. 3 ways that God leads His children. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're a child of God. Okay? That's all you got to do. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So number one is what we're looking at today, is the inward witness. And this is the primary way that God leads His children. Number two, and we're going to look at this next Sunday, the inward voice, or the still small voice. You may have heard it said that way in Scripture. And that's your conscience, which your conscience is the voice of your spirit. That's what your conscience is. And then number three, the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit, which that's when you hear God on the inside of you, and it's almost like it's audible. In fact, sometimes you look around and see if anybody else heard it, but they didn't, but you did. With your spiritual ears. That's the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to get into the other two today, because we're just going to talk about the inward witness. Now, I want you to realize, I'm going to ask you a question. Are we living in the Old Testament or in the New Testament? We're in the New Testament. If you read the book of Hebrews says, because we're living in the New Testament, we're under a better covenant with better promises. Look at somebody and say, it's mo better. It's mo better to be living today. It's mo better. But in the Old Testament, God spoke through people. He anointed people to do specific things. And in the Old Testament, you will see God coming upon kings, priests, and prophets. And if anybody in the Old Testament wanted to hear from God, they went to a prophet. They always try to find the prophet in the land. Who's the prophet? Who's hearing God? We'll go see him or her. And then if people wanted to get their sins forgiven, they went to a priest. And they had to do all the sacrifices and all those things. And then if they wanted to learn how to rule and reign, they had to go to the king. But here's the deal. In the New Testament, you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are all three. You're a king, so you can rule and reign in life. You're a priest, because all you have to do is go to the Holy Spirit to get your sins forgiven. You don't have to go to a priest. And you don't have to go to a confessional box. And number three is you're a prophet. You can hear God for yourself. You don't have to go to a prophet. So you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to anoint you to be a king, a priest, and a prophet. You can hear God. And that's not just me. It's not for those that are in the fivefold ministry gifts, which is apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. It's not just them guys. It's for everybody. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit, you can hear from God. It's mo better. We live in the New Testament. It's mo better. Look at somebody and say, it's mo better. All right. This is why I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, because we're going to look at this in what the Apostle Paul was saying to the Romans, the believers. And he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. And we'll start in verse 12 and read down to verse 17. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons or the daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's our key scripture for today. Romans, you might want to underline that, highlight it in your Bible. It's okay to do that. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's how you know if you're a child of God, is the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And if not, guess what? By the end of today, you will be. You'll have that witness. In verse 17, it says, and if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. What the heirs mean is that you're a king, a priest, and a prophet, just like Jesus was, because you're a joint heir with him. Look at somebody and say, I'm a joint heir. I like audience participation. So if you participate, we get out earlier. If you don't, we stay longer. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, somebody caught on quick. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, what I want to tell you, it's verse 16, because a lot of people, even in the Bible Belt, get this messed up. All right. Verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, I'm going to go down a list that I have actually been told when people said, well, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian because of this. All right, I'm just going to read down a list here. It's not your denomination or your flavor of church. Amen. Amen. It's not your church membership. Amen. Amen. It's not by somebody giving you a prophetic word. Amen. It's not someone else's opinion. Amen. It's not baptism in water. Oh, I just hit a sacred cow there. That is very important. I'm not watering that down, no pun intended, but that is very important in you following the Lord in water baptism, but it's after you've already had the Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you're a son or daughter of the Most High God. Everybody got that? Amen. And I always use that because some people, boy, that's a big sacred cow for some people. And I always tell people, okay, here, I'm going to give you an analogy, a story, analogy of here in redneck Western Oklahoma. Well, let me give you one from the Bible, first of all. From the Bible, there was two thieves on the cross with Jesus in the middle. And one of them said, Jesus, will you remember me in paradise? Romans 10:13. everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did Jesus respond with? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, man, buddy, I wish I could. I wish I could get off this cross and go down to the Jordan River and baptize you. He didn't say that. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. It's just like if two guys are out here working on a rig. God forbid this to ever happen. Out here working on a rig and one of them gets, you know, they're out there working on the rig and he's accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. It happened there on the rig that day. Somebody witnessed to him. And then a little bit later, something happens and he's killed in an accident out there in the oil field. Just because he didn't get water baptized, but because he called upon the name of the Lord, he is saved and he's in heaven. But there again, you're never going to hear me tell you that you don't need to do this. Because if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your next step of obedience is to do that, is to follow the Lord in water baptism. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many times it takes to get it done. It took me twice to finally get it. And really the first time I was about 9 years old. And I'm not discounting kids because we have baptized lots of children here and they know what they're doing. But I can tell you my story, I didn't know what I was doing. I was 9 years old. Nobody taught me. Nobody showed me. I just went forward because all my friends were. And then I just got wet. I was like, yay, I got wet at church. I got to go swimming. You know, I got dunked, and that's all I did, got wet. There was no witness with my spirit what had happened. I wasn't taught. And we've baptized as young as 5 years old in here. But they come in. I mean, I've had them. I think about little Adley. She came up to me, tugged on my coat one Sunday, and she looked at me with her big old bright blue eyes, and she said, guess what, Pastor Mark? I'm a Christian. And she goes, I asked Jesus in my heart. We waited till all of their family could get here and we baptized her. She knew what was going on because she has great parents and they taught her. But nobody taught me. I just went up and got wet. And that's so it's more than that. And here's the other thing. It's not your family heritage. Thank God for family tradition and family heritage, but that's not what gets you into heaven. It's not because grandma went to the first church of so-and-so and she bought the pew that we all sat on at church. You know what I'm talking about. That goes on in lots of churches around here. And that don't get you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is the Spirit himself bear witness with your spirit that you are the child of God. You're not going to get to heaven one day and look at the Lord and say, well, we bought the church pew. That gets me in. No, that don't get you in. It's accepting what he did for you, what he did for you at the cross. That's all it is. And it's simple. We've made it too hard. Jesus even got on the religious people of his day. He said, you make it too hard for people to come to me. It's easy. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Has everybody got it? So here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you're saved and you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know who did it? Who drew you to him? The Holy Spirit. Yeah, he might have used a preacher. He might have used, you know, some other way, you know, without preachers, we're not going to hear the word of God. God anoints preachers to do his work in the earth. But what drew you to Christ, what drew you to the Lord was the Holy Spirit. So that was the inward witness. And that's why it's the primary way that God leads us, that inward witness. All right. Now, here's Proverbs 20, verse 27. I'll give you a few Old Testament scriptures that talk about this. It says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. So your spirit man is where the light happens at. It's not in your soul. Remember, we're a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. So your spirit and your soul are separated from one another. A lot of people think soul and spirit are the same thing. They're not. Hebrews 4:12 says that it's different. It's the spirit and the soul. We're spirit, soul, and body. We're three yet one, and we're created in the image of God. So here's Psalms 18, verse 28. For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. If you're walking around, and like Mark talked about this morning, which I thought was an awesome word for us today, because it goes along with his teaching, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit speaking through him today, is if sometimes, if you're in darkness, if you're confused, that's not from God. You need to listen to the inward witness. Confusion and all that in darkness is from the enemy's camp. Okay? God leads with peace. All right, so now, I want to teach you today, we're going to learn how to train your spirit. Everybody want to learn how to do this? It's very easy, very simple. It's not rocket science. It's just that we have to do it. We have to learn how to develop our spirit man. And the first thing that you got to do, and I know you hear me harping on this a lot, preaching and teaching and sharing this a lot, you're never going to hear me back off of this, but you're going to have to learn to do this to yourself. Feed on God's word. Yes, come to church. Let, you know, wherever you go to church at, hopefully it's here. You know, if you're here visiting today, and we would love to have you. This is your home church. We just open our arms to you. But get in a good Bible teaching church and feed on God's word and go and hook yourself up every Sunday to hear the word of God. But you've also got to do things Monday through Saturday yourself. You've got to feed on the word of God. That's why I send out that daily scripture every morning, the Harvest Time Club. It's there in your bulletin. Text the word harvest to 68683, then reply with a Y, and you'll be signed up for it. And you'll get a scripture from me every morning at 7 a.m., something that the Lord's been speaking to me or one of my devotionals that I read or something like that. That's what I always send out to y'all. Or get the, we have them there at the back. We just got some new ones in as well for the next 3 months. But here's our daily devotional. It comes in June, July, and August, so 3 months. There it is. Get that daily devotional. It's just a little paragraph with some scripture with it, and it's an awesome tool, and I know a lot of you use that. But what I'm telling you is to get into a daily habit and a routine. Don't let it become just a little ritual that you do, but let get into the Word and let God speak to you through His Word. Feed on His Word. Meditate. And here's another thing that I like to do. I like to take a passage of scripture, and we're going to look at one that I've been feeding upon here by studying this. But get a passage of scripture, just a short passage of scripture, and just feed on it and just meditate on it for a few days and see what all God speaks to you through it. Because this word, the Bible says, is living and active. It's amazing to me. I'll send out one scripture and I'll get, every now and then I'll get a text back from somebody and say, man, that scripture was what I needed today. That's the word of God, because it's active, it's powerful, it's living, and it speaks to us. So meditate on a passage, and that just means chew on it. Chew on that word. And I love what Jesus said in Matthew 4:4. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's Matthew 4:4. Okay, so everybody good with number one? You've heard me say that a lot. Feed on God's word. Feed on it. Here's number two. Learn to train your spirit. Number two, make sure you walk in love. Look at somebody right next to you. Hopefully it's your spouse, and say, I love you. You needed to say that before you even came to church. I love you. All right. My wife's back in nursery. I love you in nursery if she can hear me. Sometimes we have the intercom on back there so she knows what's going on out here. So make sure you walk in love. And this is a big one, guys. I cannot stress to you how the Lord has been speaking this to me. And I'm telling you, I'm not perfect at this, to be honest with you. Because sometimes I get mad. You know, has anybody ever rubbed you the wrong way? Yeah. Don't look at them. They're not here today, I hope. But 1 John 3:14, this is serious business with the Lord, because He's telling us, make sure you walk in love. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. That's how big love is to God. You know, we got lots of people in churches that are mad at one another and you know, hate one another, and that's not a place where the Holy Spirit can dwell. When that's going on in people's heart, the Holy Spirit is a long ways away from there. So we always want to stay in unity and one accord and love one another. And everybody said, amen. I love love. Look at somebody say, I love love. I'm telling you, this is so big. And I'm just going to read, you also see that you can write those down. I'm going to read them to you. Mark 11:24-26. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, including your spouse, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Anybody see that's a big deal to God? How many couples do we have here today? Yeah. All right, here, I'm going to give you a good scripture. This is really directed towards the men, but it goes both ways. It goes for the ladies as well. This is 1 Peter 3, verses 7 through 9. Here's a little marriage counseling for you today. This is going to help you. It says, husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding. And every guy just checked out right there. Okay, yeah. And I'm trying to understand her already. Been trying to understand her for 25 years. By the way, Jade and I are going to celebrate 25 years of marriage on Tuesday. Yes, amen. Quarter of a century. Husbands likewise dwell, and I'm still trying to understand her. Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, be one of mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Basically, what that's saying is how, you guys, we're to nurture and cherish our wives, our spouses. That's what we're supposed to do. And it's supposed to be reciprocated from the ladies. So ladies, you're not off the hook. But guys, God tells us to do it. And he says that if we're not doing that, and if we're not treating them right, and we're not, you know, being careful with them and loving them like we're supposed to, and loving them like Christ loved the church, it says that our prayers will be hindered. I don't want my prayers hindered. I want the Lord to be leading me by his Holy Spirit. So guys, we've got to take care of our ladies and vice versa. And all the ladies said, amen. Amen. I want to say something today that there has been, and I know a lot of us have watched the news and Charlottesville, you know, North Carolina and the riots that's going on and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to tell you something, guys, because this is going out over radio and on social media. Racial hate is from the absolute pit of hell. That's where it's from. That's where it comes. That's where it originates from, that kind of hate. And so what we need to be doing is praying for a revival of love. The white supremacists, the Nazi stuff, the Black Lives Matter, here's the deal, all lives matter. And we're all created in the image of God. And so we need to pray for a revival of love. And I found myself when I was watching the media this week, because I try to stay up on what's going on currently and all that kind of stuff, but I found myself as I was watching it that hate started coming up in my heart because I was watching it. And yeah, exactly, turn it off. And so here's what my word for you. Don't follow the media, follow the inward witness. The witness of the Holy Spirit will always be in love, always walk in love. Racial hate is from the pit of hell. I'll never forget, I had somebody call me one time and they were asking about an interracial marriage that was going on in their family, and they were very upset about it. I could tell by the way they were talking about it. And so I got, you know, I heard this person out, and then I got online. I went to marriagetoday.com to see if Pastor Jimmy had written anything about it, because I wanted to give him some resources, give this person some resources. And then So I ended up calling Pastor Jimmy's office in Dallas, Texas, and he happened to be, it was like he was at the desk when I called his secretary there. Now, he didn't take the phone and talk to me, you know, me and him on the phone, but he told his secretary, Mark, it's a non-issue. It's a non-issue. If you know your word of God, Moses married somebody. Moses' marriage was an interracial marriage. Love does not see color. Love is love. God is love. God created us all in his image. I know Pastor Robert's daughter is the one that we just listened to last week, and he got up, and I shared it on social media, on Facebook, so you can go see it, but what he said about, you know, the racial hatred that was going on and things. But a lot of people don't know this, but his daughter is married to an African American, his own daughter. So it's not an issue, guys. And if we're making it an issue, then you've got racial hatred in your heart, and you need to get that out in Jesus' name, because that's not from the Lord. That's not from the Lord. All right, that's number two. So everybody walking in love, make sure you walk in love. Number three, learning to train our spirit. Number three is, and I should have had this first, but I put it at the last for a reason. So I kind of went in descending order, if you want to put them in order. But we need to pray first. Pray first. I cannot stress that enough, because a lot of times what we pray last. The last thing we do is call upon God when we get ourselves in a pickle that we're going to be talking to youth about here in a few weeks. And pray first, and this the word is in Psalms 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Look at somebody and say, you need to be still. That's something that we all, and I wrote down there, wait upon the Lord. And sometimes we need to wait for quite a while. Sometimes, we live in a microwave society. God, I want it now. I want fast food. I want to offer this prayer and it be answered by the evening. And sometimes it don't work like that. With God, we have to wait upon God. And when you're waiting upon God, God is preparing you and your character and your integrity and everything else. And you're also crucifying your flesh. And it's not a fun process, but it's God's process of how he works in our lives. So we need to wait upon the Lord. And I wrote down there, crucify your flesh, which is your body. Renew your mind with God's word, which is your soul. And get quiet on the inside, which is your spirit. In Acts 13:2, and I want to read this to you just so you, this is what happened in Acts 13, verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, that's another thing, and I could teach on that. That's a whole other thing. As they ministered to the Lord in prayer, and they with worship and praise and all those things, and they fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. We don't know how he said it, but it was by an inward witness. This is how the Holy Spirit spoke. Does everybody see that and hear that? That's what you got to do. I'm going to tell you a story, because I know some of you in here are in business. Most of you, a lot of you are in business, and this goes for men and women. Whether you're a single mom or not or whatever, but God wants to lead you by his Spirit to be successful in life. And he wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. He wants to bless you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, and relationally. And I read a story this week about a guy who was after World War II, and he was a businessman, and he prayed first about everything that he did with his money. And with his business and everything, he always would pray. Even if he thought that, okay, this is a no-brainer, he still prayed. He still went to God, and he would wait upon God until he got the green light on his inward witness. And he had $14,000 that he had set aside that he wanted to invest all of it into something. And so he was been praying for a while, and this was after World War II, so that was a lot of money back in those days. And he was praying about, God, where do you want me to put this money? Where do you want me to make this investment? And by the inward witness, the Lord led him to a chemical company to invest this money in. And so he put all this $14,000 in this investment company because he felt the green light from the Lord to do it. And there was nothing about this chemical company that would make anybody want to invest in them after World War II. And as he... time went on, 10 years went by. Look at somebody say 10 years. 10 years and nothing was happening with this money. And he thought about, maybe I didn't hear God. Maybe, and God had to remind him, no, what I led you by my inward witness. Don't pull out now. He was thinking about pulling out and cashing out and doing something else with it. Don't pull out now. And so he didn't. He said, okay, Lord, I know you told me to do this 10 years ago, and I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to leave it alone. And here's what happened, guys. 20 years later, so from 10 and 20, so it's been 30 years. In 30 years, that $14,000 investment turned into $4 million in 20 more years. That's the power of compound interest. But take that back, it's the power of hearing from God and being led by the inward witness. But here's what I want to tell you about this. Waiting upon God, it didn't happen the next day. It took 30 years. Years for it to come to pass. And so God is good when you listen to the Lord. God is good. Now I want to give you some practical tips here. Just a few practical tips. and I didn't write this one down, so I want you to go. I know I wrote all these down for you so you can take notes. And if you want a copy of my notes, just let me know and I can email it to you. Because I know sometimes I give you a lot of information, it's hard to write all this down. But there was one I didn't put on here, and these are just practical tips of hearing from God, listening to the inward witness. And here's number one, is always keep a tender conscience. And that means whenever you know that God's speaking to you, be quick to obey. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't go against the grain. Be quick to obey, because that just helps develop that your conscience to hear from God even better. And I'm going to give you a little parenting tip with this. Start, if your kids are small, you can start at any time. But if your kids are small, start this now. Teach them in a loving way, you know, obey now. And that'll carry over. Don't wait to obey. How many of you have those kids that wait to obey? Yeah, I know. Yeah, Taya's looking at me like, yeah, whatever. Teach them to obey quickly. Taya was telling us about some little girls that she does lessons with, and she was like, man, I love those little girls that are teachable and they want to do it right then. And she goes, but then I've got those ones that I'll tell them and they just look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about and do it their way. And I was like, well, you carried that over spiritually. That's the way God is with us. Like, you know, I want you to be, you know, God wants us to be teachable and obey quickly. And that will always keep a tender conscience. The other thing that you need to do is obey the checks in your spirit. A lot of times we say, you know, we put our redneck English on it. We'll say, I had a hunch, or, you know, or my gut told me, or something like that. That's actually the inward witness. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you need to obey it. Don't discount it. I've been around a lot, and I've even done it myself. I've discounted it, and I wish I'd have back up and rewind a few days and listened to what God told me to do by the inward witness, and I went against it and it caused some bad things to happen. I've done that in business, and I've done it, you know, being a pastor as well. But what I like to say about obeying the checks in your spirit with the Lord, there's a green light and there's a red light. Green light means go. Red light means stop. And those are the checks that you have in your spirit. My dad, who's not here today, there was one time here like a year ago, he was out sawing some boards, and I've shared this here before, but he was out sawing some boards, and he had some gloves on, and he said, and I was looking down, and it was really cold that day, and he said, I was sawing this board, and he said, I just had this impression. He said it was an impression, and we were talking about this after the fact when he was in ER, and I'll tell you about what happened. He said, I had this impression to take my gloves off. And he said, and I didn't listen to it because it's cold. I was like, I'm not taking my gloves off. It's cold out here, you know. And what happened was that saw blade caught a hold of his glove and yanked his hand in there, and it chewed up his fingers pretty good. And so I met him at the ER there in Elk City, and he told me that. And I said, well, Dad, that was the Holy Spirit speaking to you to take your gloves off. And then I went, dirty dir. Because I've done it too. But that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, because he wants you to be safe. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't walk in fear, but whenever those things happen, obey it. Obey it. Another story in this, and then, you know, I told you earlier when we started this message about life and death. Pastor Cody Anderson, who's been here, he's a good friend of mine from Faith Center Fellowship in Mino, Oklahoma, which is up by Enid. But he had an older brother that was... I never did get to meet his older brother, but I've heard from several men that he was a preaching machine and a great pastor and just a great guy, had a great personality, and someone described him as the John Wayne, of Christianity, and he's just a great guy. But he was killed tragically in an accident up by Enid, and right at the prime of his life, the prime of his ministry and everything. And it shook their church to the core, and it shook Cody, my friend, to the core, his little brother. And Cody told me this story, and he had given me the liberty to share this before, and he said that he went out to their farm after the funeral and everything and the memorial service and everything. He went out to the farm, and he said, God, I do not understand this. I don't understand this. And he said, you know, my brother was serving you and doing everything you told him to do, and all these things, and he said, God, I need you to give me an answer. I need an answer. And he said, while he was out there, and he said, man, I was screaming, I was bawling and squalling and out there on his farm and his ranch, and he said, the Holy Spirit ministered to him and said, you know, your brother's fine. He's with me. He's in heaven. He don't want to come back. you know. But this is what the Holy Spirit ministered to Cody, and Cody told me this. He said, the Holy Spirit, by an inward witness, let me know that that morning he had tried to direct my brother 5 different times by nudging him not to go this certain way when he left on this certain road. But he went against what I was telling him, and an accident happened. So I want to tell you guys, it's life and death to listen to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling the men in here, I'm telling us ladies in here, whenever you're feeling the Holy Spirit telling you to go to the doctor or something's not right, listen to it. Obey that. Go quickly. And don't put it off. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. Okay. then the other thing is, the other thing there that I wrote down is, and there could be more that you could add to this, but these are just some practical tips that have helped me. Don't seek spectacular guidance. Okay, here's one for you. Lord, I pray that you send me to Hawaii tomorrow, Lord, the spectacular sign that I want to see is a solar eclipse by tomorrow. Guess what? That's going to happen. But I'm not going to Hawaii because God didn't say that. There's no inward witness there. And that's what a lot of people do. God, if, you know, write something in the clouds, so, you know, that spectacular guidance. God speaks to an inward witness. I heard a pastor say this. He had an inward witness that he wasn't supposed to go pastor, and he was in a denominational church, and this church called him up to be their pastor, and they offered him more money, better parsonage, better everything. It looked good on all the outward circumstances, but he had an inward knowing that he wasn't supposed to go there. He should have told him no, but he entertained it. He said, well, y'all, you have a church vote. So his spectacular guidance was, God, if they come back with 100% vote, I'm going. They had 100% vote, which don't happen very much in denominational churches. And he said, what happened? He was a few months into it, and he said, I felt like I was pastoring in hell. He said, but I was getting paid more money, better parsonage, all these things, but I was out of the will of God. And he said, what we ended up finding out, and he said he had meetings with these people in his church. He said, y'all had 100% vote. I was 100% wrong because I didn't listen to the Lord, and you were 100% wrong in your vote. And so they both came to the agreement that he needed to do what God told him to do in the beginning, was to stay where he was at. So sometimes it's not just that spectacular guidance. All right, here's the other one. Make sure you aren't being led by your flesh and soul, your feelings, natural reasonings, and emotions. And I have this happen so many times, and people play the God card with me is what I call it. And I know they're being led by their emotions. And they say, well, God told me to do it. And I'm like, no, he didn't. You're being led by your emotions and by your soul and about what you want to do. And then you're tacking God onto it. It don't work that way. The other one is make sure you aren't being led by outward circumstances. I just mentioned that. I'll give you an example from my own life. I haven't really told this to anybody, but when Mark Ward called me to fill in at Camargo and be an interim pastor there for like 2 years, during that time that I was at that church in Camargo, I had a church in Visalia call me up and offer me more money to come preach there. But I knew God didn't call me to go there. So, but by the inward witness, God at that time in my life was leading me to Camargo. So I had to tell him. So God don't always lead by outward circumstances. Sometimes outward circumstances confirm it, but he doesn't lead that way. The last thing there is seek mature counsel for confirmation. You don't seek mature counsel for guidance because it's the Holy Spirit that guides you, but you can seek mature counsel, and I totally encourage that for confirmation, like when there's a move coming up, a job, whatever it is. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. One last story. Is everybody ready for one last story? I've told you a lot of things today, but I want to show you something in the Word of God in Acts chapter 27, and this is what we're closing with today. And this is the Apostle Paul, and it's a great example of the witness of the Holy Spirit and the witness, the inward witness. And I titled this, The Storm That Could Have Been Avoided. I really believe there's a lot of times in life that we could avoid a lot of trials, a lot of circumstances, a lot of difficulties if we would just listen to the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that. And this word confirms it. And I'm going to read this out of Acts chapter 27. And I didn't put it up there because I just want you to listen to this. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. But Acts chapter 27, verse 10, saying, this is what Paul advised them saying because he had been fasting and praying. He says, men, I perceive, everybody say perceive, That means he had an inward witness from the Holy Spirit that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. So he listened to the captain of the ship because they know better than Paul does. Verse 12 says, and because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. And when the south wind blew softly, that means it's great sailing. There's nothing, you know, Paul, what's Paul even thinking about? When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose, a storm arose, called Euroclydon. There's your hurricane name for you. That just sounds bad, don't it? In verse 14, and then jump down to verse 20, because I'm just going to skip around. You can read all this later. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood. So Paul's been fasting and praying this whole time. Then Paul stood in the midst of them, and so the guys. They haven't been having food either. Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me. I told you so. And not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you.'" Aren't you? I bet you they were glad that Paul was on the ship, don't you? Verse 25 says, "Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island." And if you jump down to verse 30, "And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off." So they're listening to Paul now. Okay, he's the captain now. He knows what's going on. God told him about all this. "And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day you've waited and continue without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you.' And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all were about 276 persons on this boat or on this ship. And so when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea." And then jump down to verse 44, the last scripture. And it says, "And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land." Did everybody see that? That could have been avoided if they'd have listened to Paul in the very beginning. And I've had that happen to me so many times. A lot of things, a lot of heartache, a lot of disappointment, a lot of wandering in the desert could have been avoided had I listened to the Holy Spirit, but I didn't. But you know what? God's a God of grace and a God of mercy, and he can get you right back on the right path. So don't beat yourself up if you missed it a time or two. I've missed it a time or two. Just learn from it, grow from it, and get back on the right path. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So here's what we learned today. Number one, feed on God's word. Number two, make sure you walk in love. And number three, pray first. And on that walk, make sure you walk in love, because I was like, Paul, here's what I thought when I was reading this. This is what happened, what the Holy Spirit spoke to me, guys, when I was chewing on this story this week. Paul, why did you stay on that ship? If it had been me and the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, I would have got off. Said, bye-bye, guys. Hope you make it. I'll pray for you from land. And the Holy Spirit showed me and said, no, Mark, he made sure he walked in love and he stayed on that ship and he prayed for those men and prayed that the ship would be saved. He had the inward witness, and then the spectacular thing happened. He didn't seek it to happen, but a spectacular thing happened. An angel showed up. He didn't pray for it to show up. So we're not to pray to angels and talk to angels and all that jazz. That's not scriptural at all. But God had one of his messengers come and tell him, you're going to be okay. I've heard your prayers, and every one of these guys are going to be okay because you love them and because I love them. So love for people kept him on the ship. And I was like, man, I want to be like the Apostle Paul. And then as I was thinking about that and just chewing on that, the Lord showed me Jesus and said, Jesus loved you so much that he came here and he went to the cross for you. And I was like, wow. And right then and there, I was like, Lord, thank you for my salvation today. Thank you that you took my place on the cross. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to lead you in what I call the prayer of salvation. And the Bible, it's out of Romans chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul talks about this. And he just basically says that if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God the Father raised him from the dead, and if we call upon his name, we shall be saved. It's that simple. It's that easy. And so I love doing this every Sunday. Every time I speak God's word, I love telling them how you can call upon the name of the Lord and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so I call this the prayer of salvation. And it's something that you're going to have to say and repeat, because I believe what the Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you pray this, you're going to become born again. Your spirit's going to become renewed. Your spirit's going to be born again, made alive, so that you can get tuned in to God's spirit and start hearing from him yourself. And so I want to lead you in this prayer. And even if you are saved and you know that you have that witness today, that you are a child of God, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. 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 I want everybody to stay seated, and I'm going to have Mark's going to come up here, and he's going to close out the service and speak a blessing over you, and I'm going to go back there in the back so I can shake everybody's hand before you leave today. But before he does that, I need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, because I've had two things happen today that the Lord's put on my heart to do. And right before service, I went over here and I talked to Jennifer and met some of her family that's here today. And then Josh and Mary come in, and they're visiting from Balco. And Jennifer told me what she is doing now, what Mary's doing, and she is becoming. I'm saying this because I felt like, okay, Jennifer told me this morning for a reason, and I had that inward witness that I need to share that, because there may be another young person here that wants to go into this field. But Mary is studying to be a stenographer, which is somebody that does the court reporting in the courthouse, right? You know, you got to be a fast typer. How many words a minute do you got to type? Holy cow, 225. I'm out. But the reason why I felt the witness to say this is because I know we've got some young people in here that hadn't graduated from high school yet, or it may be somebody that's, but, and I've seen some of them how they text. And I mean, and I'm like, and some of them can do it underneath the table and not even look at it, you know, and I'm like, I can't do that. I'm still the one finger texter. It takes me forever. When she was telling me this, I found out through Jennifer that stenographers are in high demand. It's a career field that's there's not very many people in it, and they pay very well. And in fact, I mean, I'm talking six figures. And I'm also saying that that's what Jennifer was telling me. And also that they, you know, she's going to get licensed here in Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas, right? And so she's going to be in those three areas. Not only do they get paid well, but they're in such a lack of stenographers that they will also pay hiring bonuses. I'll get that out here in a little bit. Can you believe that? That's awesome. So I'm saying that because I believe there's somebody here today that may be watching by Church's Aid or on radio when this goes on radio that may be a field that you need to pursue. Because I felt that by the inward witness when Jennifer shared that with me today, that might be a field you need to check out. And you guys, Mary, I'm going to say this over to you, this couple, a new married couple. God's going to bless you both financially, but he is blessing you to be a blessing. And you're going to be a blessing to the body of Christ wherever he puts you at. You know, I wish you'd move back to Lee. No, I'm just kidding. I want you to be in God's will and where God wants you at. But wherever he puts you at and you get hooked up in a local church, he's going to bless you to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. The other one is my son-in-law, Cameron. And when I was preparing this, I felt like I had a word for Cameron, and I wrote it down here because I thought I was going to do it during the message, but I felt the Holy Spirit say to do this at the end of the message. Cameron is studying to be a financial advisor. He's going through Edward D. Jones, and Jade and I have been praying for him because he's having to go through a lot of studying during the day, a lot of tests. And thank God Taya's got lots of softball lessons so she can stay out of his hair and so he can study and all those kind of things. And Taya's also the coach for the Clinton JV team. Softball coach. She got hired on to do that, and it worked out perfect until the end of the fall in September when they moved to Arizona, which I will be gone a lot. I'm just kidding. But Cameron's doing this study, and he showed me last night this book, one of the books, not just the only book, but one of the books he has went through in 3 weeks, and it was like that thick, you know, and he's been making great grades on all the tests, and so he has to take a Series 7 test here in a few weeks, I believe it is, and that gets him licensed to do what he's going to do, and then he goes to Arizona for internship and all this. But I know Cameron was led into this by an inward witness. This is what he majored in college. He's also had prophetic words spoken over him. I know about this as well. And I feel like I'm just confirming what God's already been speaking into his heart. But as I've been praying for him and as I was working on this message, the Lord just brought Cameron to mind when I shared that story about the guy that made the $14,000 investment. But I believe, Cameron, that God is going to put you in a place that what's going to happen is as you study, as you pass these tests, as you do your internship, you're getting all prepared right now for what God has for you. But whenever you get set up in your office, what I see happening is that, yes, there's things that you got to do to market yourself and build your business, but you've got a business partner called the Holy Spirit that's going to be helping you because he knows your heart and what you're wanting to do with this wealth. Because Cameron has a dream of being a multimillionaire to be a blessing to the body of Christ. That's what he wants to do. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I know Scott and Marquita Page are saying, thank you, Jesus. But here's the deal. And I know it's going to be beyond, for the whole body of Christ, the kingdom of God. You guys are going to get hooked up in a local church. Because I know that there's going to be a day that they're both going to leave here, but I'm not going to say never coming back because we're going to have Taya come back and lead worship. But they're going to be going to wherever God has them and getting plugged into a local church there. And but what I saw happening in Cameron was that Cameron, I saw people seeking you out. That they're going to hear about you being a Christian financial investor guy. I don't know what the right name is, but people are going to be seeking you out to have you take care of their investments because of the character and the integrity that you have. But then God's going to start teaching you even more of how, and the Bible talks about this, about how there's going to be a transfer of wealth in the kingdom of God. And you're also, not only are you going to be, they seeking you out, but you're also going to be teaching other people how to do it as well. And I see not just one stream of income, I see multiple streams of income. God is good. Amen. So that's my two things that I wanted to share with those two things. And I'm done now. And everybody said amen. Mark's going to come and dismiss us, and I'm going to go back there so I can greet you before you leave today. I pray that this helped you. Did this help everybody? Amen.
Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. What an awesome day. Who experienced the Holy Spirit today from worship on? I know I did. That's awesome. We had a great word from Pastor Mark, and Stand up with me. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. First, we're going to pray and just seal that word in us. I believe that the enemy would want to steal what we've heard. Amen. When we leave here, it would change and take the effect off, try to deceive you out of the things of God. And we're just going to bind and seal that can't happen today. Amen. We're going to have a good word of prayer and speak a blessing over you. And I'm just thankful, amen, that we have a pastor that listens to the Holy Spirit and prepares like that, too. And we don't always do that, but you need to pray for your pastor. And so let's give Pastor Mark a hand clap for the way he's prepared and how much he really puts into it, guys. It's amazing. And he follows the Holy Spirit. We're blessed to have all that. And okay, let's pray. Father God, we come to you again. God, we just thank you for the word. We thank you, Father, for, again, our pastors and just everyone that is imparting their talents and gifts into this body, into this ministry. God, we thank you for them today. Bless them, Father. Bless everyone here that we continue to seek you, God. We just pray, Father, for this word to be sowed deep into our hearts, God, that we would retain it, Father, as we go out into the workplace and out into life, that it becomes a part of us, and that every day we learn more to listen to that small voice of the Holy Spirit that's in us, and we can get into a place of peace and rest so that we can hear you. Father, we thank you, God, for this series and the word and what's going to be taking place. And God, we just want to continue to advance towards you so that we can grow in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to speak a blessing over us. Pastor Mark speaks this every week, and we just want to encourage you. I just right now I feel that everyone here has somebody on their heart, and I'm just prompted in that you know in your family, whether it's parents, brothers, sisters that need to be coming to the Lord, you know, that need to have a church home. I don't know why I feel that very strong today. So whoever they are, reach out to them. I want to encourage you to do that. It's okay. Break down some of these walls and barriers and family and friends. Amen. God wants to use you to be that beacon in your family. Okay. So when you leave here, be thinking about those people in our lives. We've all got them. I do too. Okay. We need to really think about that and start getting into those areas of relationships that we have in family. Okay. In Numbers chapter 6, we read it all the time, 24 through 26 says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace in Jesus' name." Amen. Have a great week. Thanks for coming.